This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. You're listening to Place to Be Nation's Main Event, a roundtable experience looking at today's pro wrestling landscape. And now, here's your host, Scott Criscolo.
Place to Be Nation! Welcome back to your one and only home for everything modern day wrestling, Place to Be Nation's Main Event. I am your host and soothsayer, Mr. Scott Criscolo. It is episode 33, and we have a fun show tonight with an awesome panel. We have one half of the Core Four and a very special guest making his main event debut, and a guy that I've wanted on for quite a while. But he probably thought I was stalking him when I was trying to find him on both Facebook and Skype. Anyway, welcome to the show. We got a fun little exercise tonight. First off, let me bring in the crew, one half of the Core Four, my favorite person on the planet. He is a contributor to PlaceBeNation.com. He is also the purveyor of Marvel.com. And after the break, I will give him my review of Avengers: Age of Ultron, which I saw Tuesday. Mr. Ben Morris.
Hello. Why are you Mr. Scott Criscolo now?
Because I saw a picture of Backlund a little while ago.
Yeah, excited. That's what I thought. That's right where my head went. I go, this is something to do with Backlund, because that's how on the same wavelength we all are.
What's up, Benjamin?
Oh, doing great, man. Doing great. Feeling good. Fancy free. Is this my... No, I was off last episode. I was going to say I was on a streak. I'm back again.
Yes, well, I have a new way. Well, we have a new way of, and we'll talk about it on our next production meeting.
Sure.
The Core Four is being split into the Core Twos.
But I'm becoming the Chris Jericho of this show. Coming back again and again to diminishing returns.
But still putting on five stars when you get here.
Yeah, sure.
Benjamin, always a pleasure. And joining you as part of the Core Four, the Boogie of the Bayou. I don't know who's playing tonight. I think it's the Hawks and Wizards. John Wall and his 47 breaks in his wrist. Mr. Andrew Reich.
You know, I also have the Chris Jericho deal for the main event. Unfortunately, that means that I talk, but nobody records it.
Actually, Ben is the Kevin Nash, and he's already talked you down, so you've already... No. Maybe that's Jordan Duncan.
I do get hurt a lot.
Or maybe that's Jordan Duncan. I don't know. Anyway, Mr. Reich, always a pleasure, man.
No problem.
And our special guest, a guy that I've just gotten to know and just gotten to start listening to since he and our good friend Mr. Graham Cawthon have joined Place to Be Nation's network. He is the co-host of two fantastic shows, Wrestling with Optimism and the History of Wrestling podcast. We welcome to the main event Mr. Brad Stutz. Brad, welcome.
Thank you, boys, for having me. Always a pleasure. If I had known, I would have sent in, if I had enough time, I would have sent in some debut vignettes, like back in the territory days, where you could have hyped me up for a few weeks before I came in. But happy to be here.
Well, it's a double-edged sword there. You could have been Bray Wyatt, or you could have been Kizarni. So we decided just to eschew the whole thing and just have you do a run-in like Shockmaster.
I would have been Dusty Rhodes, man, delivering pizzas, cleaning out toilets,
cleaning toilets.
Those are exactly what my vignettes would have been.
I'm picturing Brad like stalking through Graham's backyard like the Kamala vignettes from when he came to World Class.
Oh, I love that. We could get Bill Mercer to be there, and I could shove him down. Oh, this would be nice.
Looking through the window at Graham's Cap Center cards on his bathroom wall. No.
Exactly.
So anyway, Brad, thank you for joining us. And on your premiere edition of the main event. And we're going to have a very special show because we have a very special exercise we're going to do tonight. So, Brad, you're walking in on a good night. Before we do that, though, let's ask some obligatory questions because it has happened. It was a week and a half ago. But let's go around the horn very briefly. We're not going to belabor it. Benjamin.
Yes.
Thumbs up, thumbs down on Extreme Rules.
Thumbs up. I enjoyed more than I didn't enjoy. I watched it very late. I only watched it earlier this week because I was at a wedding during the show. Though there were,
you know. Yes, we know.
And I was not drunk.
You were high on life.
I did not drink, which made it more embarrassing. but no, me and a couple buddies who were in a wedding at a park in the middle of Texas. So we had no way of like sneaking off to the iPad or anything. But we had a friend who didn't come. Texting us results and pictures.
Oh, okay.
But I just watched it this week. Yeah, we were devoted. The bride was very excited. But yeah, I just watched it earlier this week. I thought it was a good show. I mean, coming off WrestleMania, it's always tough. But I, like I said, I felt like there was more good than there was bad. I felt like the people who needed to step up and perform did. I think Roman Reigns continued his rehabilitation process. I think Dean Ambrose also kind of got himself back in the mix. I think Extreme Rules was a little bit of a placeholder show, but it portends greater things to come because I think a lot of big players, thinking of Neville, thinking of New Day, a lot of people put on the types of performances that is going to make the rest of the spring and summer not so arduous, if that makes sense. I think they kind of they made themselves again.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mr. Reich, thumbs up, thumbs down?
Thumbs up. The only thing that I kind of had a problem with was that one of the worser, I guess you could say, because there really wasn't a bad match per se, but one of the worser matches on the card was like the last one, the main event in the cage. Not that it was a, like I said, not that it was a bad match. It was just overall kind of forgettable. You know, the tag match was terrific, and Roman Reigns Big Show was shockingly good. Like, I had no expectations going into the last man standing match, and it kind of knocked my socks off when I was at the end. I was like, this is really, really great. Overall, just a good show, nothing really memorable. You know, we've seen a couple post WrestleMania pay-per-views with like one great match, and unfortunately this one didn't really have one.
Can I grab on something Reich said, and also because I want to get Brad's take when he talks about the show. Are Randy Orton and Seth Rollins an example of two guys who are, we know they're both good, they're both good wrestlers, they're both good talkers, who just don't have chemistry, and it really seems like they would? Because I don't even think they're having bad matches. I think the problem is we have high expectations of them. When you have Big Show and Roman Reigns in there, it's like they put on a decent match, it's spectacular, and they put on a really good match, it was great. I think with Rollins and Orton, they're just not clicking, and it's nothing about the individuals. There's something about the two of them that just doesn't work together.
I think there's too much outside. I don't want to say interference, but I think there's too much outside
stuff going on
that, that impedes them getting into a flow. Because I agree with you, I think they should be better.
Yeah.
And the cage match wasn't terrible. I'll give my comments in a minute. Brad, thumbs up, thumbs down.
Thumbs up, I guess. One of those, and it's been a constant problem for the past year or even 2 years. Another pay-per-view where I didn't really feel like anything happened. Any given episode of Raw is better, more exciting, more newsworthy than the supposed major events. I didn't particularly love the cage match, but I absolutely loved the WrestleMania match between Orton and Rollins. So I'm not going to go as far as to say they don't have chemistry as opponents, because I loved the WrestleMania match. And that was actually one of the matches that had the group that I was watching Mania with up out of our seats the most. But I agree the cage match was nothing memorable, nothing special. Absolutely loved New Day against Kidd and Cesaro. Watched it back like four times. To me, that was the highlight of the show. I'm not a Big Show hater personally, so I was pleased to see the Last Man Standing match get some warm reviews, because I think he works hard and works amazingly for someone of his age and experience and size and carrying around all that weight. So it's nice to see him get a little credit, because I do think he gets overlooked a lot.
I agree.
Okay. I loved Reigns and Big Show. That match blew my mind. And I think it's because we didn't expect anything. That's why I've become, when it comes to just being a general fan, I've just become, I don't want to say my expectations are low, but I don't go in with some of these guys that we see on Facebook chats and stuff who think everything has to be No Way Out 2001 or WrestleMania 17 or whatever.
It's tempered expectations.
I mean, get a grip, okay? Just go in and want to enjoy it. You know who I sound like, guys, and you know who I mean. But I'm not trying. Everything's great. No, I'm just kidding. I don't stress out about it. I don't have to say that I like something or don't like something, but I'm not going to go on and go, my God, everything was so bad. I can't believe hey, it was good. It wasn't good. Big Show Reigns was very fun. I think the match that disappointed me, and it was because of the stip, was Cena and Rusev.
It's
love
a
Russian
very
chain
hard
matches.
Stip.
I love Russian chain matches. But I was thinking more along the lines of like the ready to go territory on you, Brad. I love the – I was – anytime I see a long chain, I'm thinking Hammer, Piper, Starrcade 83.
Yeah.
I want to see them wrap the fucking chain around their hands and pummel their faces with it.
Instead, it was like a scoreboard.
Instead, it was like a Texas bull rope match.
Yeah.
And that's now, sadly, the because of the culture of the company where we can't see too much blood. Whatever. But that's what I think the problem was. Main event didn't bug me. Like I agree with Brad that it was inoffensive. I did dig the Mania match between them, though. So I don't want to say I disagree with you, Ben, but I do think it's not straight lack of chemistry. I think you just got to, like, remember, the Mania match had nothing wrong with it, had nothing around it, and I thought they were fantastic.
True. I think you guys are making good points. Yeah,
But I agree with you that you got to let them just go with it. Yeah. Instead of all the, like, I'm getting bored of Mercury and Noble. I'm getting bored with them. Go away. Pick somebody else. Do the Ascension or something, or find more NXT guys that are low in the. I need somebody different. I know that they're supposed to be like the modern day Patterson and Briscoe, but anyway, I enjoyed the show as a whole. And of course, our next pay per view outing will be Payback, which is coming up in a week and a half, actually. So they're kind of off, so we're not going to be able to preview technically Extreme Rules or Payback. We will review it on our next show. Because it is a week from Sunday, live from the, I don't know what the sponsor is anymore, but it's from the arena in Baltimore, which thank God is back to relative normal now. Because as most people said in the live chats, it's more important to make sure the pay-per-view goes to air. Never mind that people...
You can just have a TNA event if you don't want anybody to show up.
Exactly.
Ah!
Oh! But I mean, you know, never mind the cops and looting and people getting hurt. Damn it, we need a pay-per-view in 3 weeks! Whatever. I don't know. I'm on an anti Facebook.
You're on your soapbox, man.
Yeah, I'm on an anti wrestling Facebook wrestling fan. Yeah.
If they
right
were
now.
Still, if they were still rioting in Baltimore, they could just have the pay per view live from WWE headquarters, like they did that one episode of Raw in the Blizzard. That would be phenomenal. Or this set the ring up on the roof of WWF headquarters and run the pay per view there. I would
be kind of like that 95 Raw open where they light on the
that's what I was gonna say.
Or if this was the Attitude Era, Vince could just put the ring in the middle of the riot. Wow.
Yeah, and have a bunch of fire just randomly pop out of nowhere.
Bottle crashing and God only knows. No.
It's an Inferno match.
Nickelback playing.
Oh, yeah, that won't cause a riot even worse. No. So there's our quick. And so, yes, Payback is coming up a week from Sunday from Baltimore. And I'll be wearing my Orioles hat when I go to my friend's house. Because that's what I do. I don't know if I ever told anybody that, but I have every major league team's hat. So for good luck, I always wear the hat of the, and then geographically, I have to kind of guess when it's somewhere that there's no team. But, this time around, I'll be wearing my Orioles hat. And for Chicago, I rotate. And I think I had my throwback White Sox hat for, Extreme Rules.
You know what's sad? Chicago fans rotate their fandom too.
Okay. Quickly, question, short answer. Brad, did you watch, I know I promised that I wouldn't mention Raw, but if you didn't, it's okay.
Absolutely.
For those who did watch Raw, was, in your opinion, Rollins Ambrose, and I'm going to kind of get this from you, Ben, that you mentioned something on our chat earlier in the week, was Rollins Ambrose a better match than Zayn Cena? Some people have been saying that.
I'm one of them.
You were one of them. That's why I'm bringing this question up.
Yeah, I think I'd say I'll just reiterate what I told you earlier this week. I think Zayn Cena was a better moment. Rollins Ambrose was a better match, and that's okay because they were both awesome in their own ways.
Right. Okay. What do you think, Brad?
I agree with that assessment. Actually, I don't know if I can say it any better than that. And I'm a big proprietor of. You know, it's not about the minutes, it's about the moments and making the most with what you've got. And I thought the Zayn Cena, I thought everything about that was beautiful. I loved the insertion of Bret Hart and of Heath Slater in that. Heath Slater is one of my favorite auxiliary characters that just pops up every now and then and does something entertaining. But yeah, I would agree. I think Rollins and Ambrose could have easily headlined a pay-per-view and been a satisfactory close to a show. Yeah, I'll agree with that assessment, sure.
Okay, all right. Now, Reese, you said you didn't watch, so...
Yeah, I can't. Right. I did see Cena and Zayn on a YouTube clip. It was spectacular. Fingers crossed that Zayn's injury is not long term.
Well, I'm about to mention that now. We have two, and you knew it was going to happen eventually just because they've all been that good down there, but the injury bug has finally bit NXT after avoiding it for a while. According to reports, Sami Zayn is out 3 months with a rotator cuff injury from that shoulder, so he will probably miss NXT TakeOver, whatever the
now,
next
Now, he supposedly did this in the warm-ups, right?
He did it. And then he aggravated it when he did that weird, whatever the thing he does, the flip thing or whatever. However he does his entrance, and he aggravated apparently there. But but the worst injury, Hideo Itami out 6 to 8 months with, I believe God. I think his injury is also a shoulder.
It's a shoulder, yeah.
That's got to be a torn rotator cuff.
So, and we'll talk more about this as we get closer. Well, actually, we'll have to talk about it now because I think it's the It's two weeks from Wednesday?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's the Wednesday after Payback.
Correct.
Okay. I watched the last 2 weeks of NXT today, and somebody said something very interesting, and Ben, I think you saw it on our chat.
Mm-hmm.
Alex Riley said, in a very weird poetic way, if Zayn doesn't make it to TakeOver, I want Kevin Owens. Do they roll with that, and do we just get Alex Riley and Kevin Owens at the pay-per-view, or is that not enough? Is that not sexy enough? What do you think, Brad?
Not sexy enough.
Okay.
I think you go with Balor. You go with maybe one of those little funky, you know, three-way or four-ways to incorporate somebody else in there. I mean, I've seen so many things on these NXT specials in the last pretty much since the Kevin Owens debut. I've seen so many things on these NXT specials that surprised me that I could not believe they actually did in a good way. I mean, it could be Kevin Owens against Samoa Joe. Like, that wouldn't surprise me at this point, because the Kevin Owens debut and Zayn winning the title and the turn was done in such a fresh, unique, non-WWE way, and their match at the following TakeOver was done in such a refreshing, unique, non-traditional WWE way that nothing would surprise me if they pulled the trigger for an NXT special. It could be Uha Nation, it could be Samoa Joe, it could be anybody, because they have done such a good job of setting up NXT's presentation as being non-traditional, non-conventional, that it could be anything, and that's good.
Okay, how about this for an idea? Since the two major matches have now been impacted because of these injuries, why don't they mush them together? Why don't we have a triple threat for the title? Owens, Breeze, Balor.
I was thinking that, or I was thinking you do a four-way and include Riley.
Could do that too, sure.
It seemed like, well, Balor won the number one contendership in the same event where Kevin Owens won the belt, right? Did he ever use that number one contendership?
Yeah, he had a shot on.
Yeah, it was the Mania week, or maybe the right.
Yeah, I'm behind, so I'm just. Yeah.
I totally forgot about that. Yeah, he did use it.
So he used it. He lost. So okay.
I don't love the triple threat idea. Not that I don't love Breeze, because I do, but I don't think Breeze's character is a good fit for Owens. I don't like them interacting because Owens is so believable and so serious. I don't really like Breeze being in the mix with Owens personally.
You know, on the flip side, I kind of like the idea of, just because of that, Breeze kind of going into the match, getting his ass kicked by Owens, and it forces him to get serious for the remainder of the match. And I do think he's a guy who can pull that off. I'd be interested to see that, actually.
And because it's such a non-conventional event, like you said, Brad, I think Riley coming in and stepping in the main event would actually not hurt the show as much. If it was like a major event, maybe they wouldn't take the chance. But, you know, they did this with Jerry Lawler and The Miz, and, you know, no one really cared about that or remembers it that well. But I think this one, I think people would appreciate if Riley can get a main event spot and really prove something, even if they don't really have plans for him at NXT as a performer. But I think they could get away with it if they really wanted to, or if they were pushed into a corner.
I think the problem with Riley as a sole contender is that we've seen him lose pretty decisively to Owens, you know? Mm-hmm. I think that's the main problem. He's just not on his own. I don't think he's a credible contender. It's interesting because, as good as NXT has been, I don't think they've ever faced – it's what you said at the beginning of this discussion, Scott. They've never faced adversity on this level. Everything's kind of fallen into place nicely for them, and everyone works their ass off and everything's gone well. But for every show they've done since the network's start, everything has been very carefully planned. They haven't lost anyone of import. They haven't really had to book on the fly at all. So it's going to be really interesting to see how Triple H and the team he has down there handle the fact that they have to divert their plans. Because I think they're booked far more like an old school territory where they have a long-term plan because they have more TV to work with. WWE is booking week to week. NXT, I don't think, does that, especially because they tape in advance. So it'll be very, very – this is a great test for NXT.
I want to say something before we move on, and that's the comparison in my mind that keeps playing in this conversation is ECW, when ECW would lose people and have to rebuild. And I think one of the things that really ended up impacting ECW more than people give it credit for is eventually they just kind of ran out of guys to rebuild with. If they had been able to hold on to acquire like Punk or Low Key or whoever, then it could have been a different story. But, you know, they were at a point where, you know, they were building around like Angel and the Baldies and Chili Willie and some, you know, these guys couldn't replace the guys that had left. The one advantage that NXT has going for it, and it's a big one, is in a situation like this, they've got so many people, they being WWE, that they can always send somebody to pick up the slack. And that's something that we haven't mentioned yet. You know, Kevin Owens could not have an opponent for the TakeOver show and be out cutting a promo, and they could send Cesaro out. They could send anybody. You know, there's so many guys in WWE that – a Cesaro or Cody Rhodes or Kofi or Ziggler or any of these people could always go down for a shot or a couple of shots and help carry the load if need be.
It saved Tyson Kidd's career.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, I just thought of a great thought. I don't know how they could pull it off because you don't want either guy to lose, but I found a perfect – you mentioned a WWE guy just walking in at TakeOver. Perfect guy to fit with Owens in a match. Ambrose.
Oh, yeah.
Doesn't have to be a title match. Do we get hosed out of a title match? Yeah, but it's all right. Not going to cry about it.
But I like what Ben and Brad are saying, is that they haven't, you know, like Ben was saying, they haven't faced that much adversity in terms of, like, you know, losing the talent, whether it's due to injury or whether it's due to call-ups. Now, they've had call-ups time and time again from NXT, but I don't think they've lost people on the level of like a Neville or a Sami Zayn before.
Well, they've also had time to plan for it, Andrew.
What's that?
They've had time to plan for it.
That's the thing.
Like, they knew guys were leaving.
Oh, the guys that got yanked were guys like Adam Rose and Bo Dallas, who, I mean, let's be honest, like, what were they really providing for NXT outside of a paycheck?
Nothing. Oh, sorry, Brad. Ben.
But the point, like Brad was saying, is what is their ability to regenerate, you know, if they lose those top-tier guys and then they have to start over with a guy like a Kevin Owens or a UHA Nation, and how can they regenerate from there? They have advantages because WWE's on their side, the machine's on their side, but will they be able to capture the magic when you lose some of those really top-tier guys that brought in the fans? I think that's really fascinating for NXT.
You just brought up a guy they could bring back for one night, Rish, and that's Neville. You could throw Neville in that spot.
Yeah.
All right, so we'll see what happens. And on our next main event, we will discuss this, because both the pay-per-view and the NXT show would have happened. So that'll be a fun main event to talk about it. Okay. Here's what we're going to do tonight. Here's our little fun game. Considering what has been going on in Ring of Honor and, of course, the sad, sad state of affairs in TNA, and, of course, the burgeoning roster that is growing in Global Force Wrestling, you three guys tonight are going to be promoters. And you are going to draft a foundation. This is not your roster because it's not enough slots, but you're going to draft a foundation roster tonight. 10 slots a person. And you're going to draft your foundation roster. 10 guys, 10 slots. You're each going to get 10 slots, 8 of them from WWE, and you get 2 from NXT. Okay? And a tag team is a slot, so you do get multiple guys. And there are plenty of tag teams, so I don't think anybody will get hosed. And depending on who you draft, if they have a manager that pretty much is pretty much solely with them, you get them too. And I'll just use an example because anybody could draft him. If you do draft Rusev, if anybody drafts Rusev, you get Lana too. Aren't you lucky? Particularly the picture she posted on Instagram today. You'd be very lucky. So there you go, Brad. How about that? You're walking in your first show, and I'm already testing your mettle. So there you go.
Love it. I'm excited. I love the idea. I'm in. Let's go.
All right. Your co-host will be jealous, or drunk, or both.
Sounds right.
We've had Grandma before, and I've heard the ice cubes in the background. No.
Usually yes.
All right. Now to do the order, we're going to do snake order. You know, in other words, we'll go up and down like. In terms of the draft order, I have a WrestleMania in my head. I could say pick a number between 1 and 31, but I think the WrestleMania thing's more fun. Mm-hmm. I have a WrestleMania in my head. Each of you throw me a guess of what you think it is, and then I will let you know whoever's the closest or hits the nail on the head picks first, and then 2 and 3 will be based on who's closest, and then we'll snake order from there. So if you have the third pick, you'll get 2 in a row, and then first pick, and then up and down like that. So... All right. I have a WrestleMania in my head. Okay. Ben, what WrestleMania do I have in my head?
WrestleMania 12.
Okay. Reesh?
3.
And I knew you were going to say that. And Brad?
17.
Okay. The answer is 15.
You're a loser.
I knew you were going to say 3, Reesh. That's why I didn't do it. So, Brad, you get the number... You get to pick first, and then Ben, since you picked that great Mania in Anaheim, you will pick second. And
well, my whole strategy was just trying to get in a middle number.
You're in the middle
in the
of
first
the
20. Yeah.
So there you go. And then Reesh,
Brad outmaneuvered me.
You will pick third. So Brad picks, and then Ben, and then Reesh. Reesh, you'll pick twice in a row, and then we'll go back the other way. So Ben, you're the only one that doesn't get to pick two times in a row, but that's okay.
Makes sense. I usually okay. get screwed in these things. ask Grish. We did this together already once.
I kept asking when I was going to be on the end of the snake.
Okay, so here we go. You get, again, 10 spots each, 8 WWE, 2 NXT. And what we're going to do is, on PlaceMeNation.com, when the show's posted, there will be a poll at the bottom of the post. And we'll keep the poll up for, well, we'll say a week or so. And... after you listen to the show, Place to Be Nation, you vote who has the better 10 guys, who has the best foundation for a promotion, and we'll see who wins.
Can I tank it and be like the Herb Abrams and pick guys like Titus O'Neil and
Brie Bella? Herb Abrams. Hey, come on. He was very good in having David Sammartino cut those promos. all right. Brad, you get the first pick, and you could use the NXTs wherever you want. You want to pick it now? You can pick it now. You only get two though. So
lucky to get the first pick because to me the first pick is a no brainer. Mm-hmm. You get the most legitimate guy. You get the guy that can change the game and can change the mood when he walks in the room. And by the rules of this draft, you also get the best talker. The first draft pick for anybody's got to be Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman.
Okay, so there you go. You're okay with the. You're going to be able to work with him in terms of, you know, part-time status? You know,
you keep the champ happy.
Okay. All right. So you have – so Brad with his first pick picks Brock Lesnar. And, of course, with him you get Paul Heyman. So there you go. All right. That's a very good pick. Benjamin, your first pick.
Well, Brad wasn't wrong. That was the obvious and easy first pick. Mm-hmm. And absolutely what I would have done had I had the first spot. But I didn't. So, to me, outside of Lesnar – there is only one legitimate, bankable, mainstream star on the roster. And as anyone who listened to me on Stephen Graham's show when we did this knows, I love work rate, but I need to have a guy that's going to draw those casual fans in. And so I got to go with John Cena.
Okay. It's a good pick. I mean, he's the face of the company. And you're getting, you know, mm-hmm. work rate as best you can. But... a guy that can be an easy champion for you. And
tickets sold. Is
and tickets yeah. merchandise. So you're making a little scratch.
It's not going to win me the vote on PTBN.com, but...
But that depends. It depends.
You got that's only picks to stack it up.
See, that's the only thing. Now, I'm looking at it from a... Like, if I was booking this myself, And if we were doing real life promotions, that's the only edge you have on Brad. Brad's guy will not work every show.
Oh, yeah.
So that's
he can be on every show. There can be. I've always said on our shows that they drop the ball on Lesnar tremendously. He should be on every show. There should be vignettes and people talking about what a bad motherfucker he is.
Right.
Yeah. You can fix that easy.
Yeah. No, you could. You could. All right. So, Andrew Riesch, your first pick, and then your first pick of the second round.
Riesch, you finally get the snake.
I finally get the snake.
You finally get the snake. And now, oh, you want Jake Roberts? Okay. So Jake Roberts and Damian is actually a separate pick. So.
Yeah. Yeah. So because I get two picks in a row, you know, I have the insurance policy of I can be interchangeable with the picks and not risk losing anybody because no one's picking between them. But even if that was the case, if I had to, my first pick would be probably Seth Rollins.
Okay.
Because I know he's the WWE champion. I don't think that really factors into this at all. But in terms of performance, he's top notch. His athleticism's amazing. I still think he can be a great babyface. You know, I think that's the one part of his character that people haven't really latched onto yet because they decided to turn him heel for the authority. He's gotten all of that shine, you know, as Justin always says, from WrestleMania 31. Mm-hmm. So he's a legitimate main event guy. Mm-hmm. He can perform. I don't remember a bad Seth Rollins match, you know, in the last, what, 7 or 8 months, mm-hmm. you know. So you got that. My next one, and this is so weird calling him a risk, but it kind of is at this point. And my next one would be Daniel Bryan.
Okay.
Because you get the mainstream appeal, you get the yes movement, you get all the fanfare, and people do tune in to watch Daniel Bryan, but you do have that risk of the injuries. But when he performs, he's so great. And I could just have these two guys wrestle each other and never have a problem.
That's true.
Okay. I like that. All right. So there you go. So our first round picks. Brad takes Brock Lesnar, Ben takes John Cena, and Andrew Riesch takes Seth Rollins, and with his first pick of the second round, he takes Daniel Bryan. Ben, your second round pick.
Unlike the first round, I'm not sure which way I want to go here. Riesch took Rollins, who would have been my next pick. I had Daniel Bryan a little further down because of the injuries. I'm going to roll the dice a little. I'm going to say I already got Cena, so I already got kind of my flagship kissing babies and shaking hands, doing the make-a-wish. And I'm gonna go to my NXT pick, and I'm going to take the NXT champion, Kevin Owens.
Smart pick, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, he's a solid guy. He's a, you know, if you had a secondary title belt, might be a guy you want to...
I think he's a great heel. He's great. He can be a great babyface. I think he's got a connection with the crowd. It's the thing that really gets me. It's not just the fact that he can work. He can connect with any crowd. That gets me.
Okay.
He's a poor man's Brock Lesnar, and I mean that as a compliment.
He's a Brock Lesnar.
I agree
Lesnar.
With that, sure.
He's a Brock Lesnar in double A.
He's an everyman Brock Lesnar, yeah.
He's Brock Lesnar 2000. There you go. All right, Mr. Stutz, your second-round pick, and then your first pick for the third round. So you got back-to-back here.
This is interesting because we're at a point now where there's a lot of people – there's a lot of big kind of heavy hitters gone, but there's a lot of good people still remaining, and there's a few guys that I know I would like the opportunity to build around, and the question now is who do you make sure you lock up? And first, I'm going to lock up Cesaro and Tyson Kidd.
Okay, there you go.
If I had been in a situation where I wasn't lucky enough to get the first pick, Cesaro would have been my first round draft pick. And if I get Tyson Kidd too, that's fantastic.
Okay.
But that's a guy that I think you can build around in a major way. That's a guy that should be headlining, that should be on top, that can do anything physically. And to me, Cesaro is a first round draft pick type of guy. And there's a couple of people that I would really like to build around that I'd really like to make sure I get. But to kick off the third round, I'm going to take Dean Ambrose.
Okay.
I think he's a special talent. I think his verbal skills are off the page. I think that's another guy kind of like Cesaro, that there's so much you can do with a guy like that. He's so versatile. He can go anywhere and work with anyone. When I'm looking at people who I want to lock up, and there are a few of them, but I want to make sure I've got him.
Okay. All right. Benjamin, your third round pick.
It's very interesting because the other guy I was debating between with Owens is still there. And I thought he was a little redundant with Cena to take last round, but if he's still available, I'm going to take him here. This is certainly – the people who hated my Cena pick are going to hate this pick as well.
I know exactly what you're taking.
Well, yeah, I think it's obvious. I'm going to take Roman Reigns. Mm-hmm. I think the money with Roman Reigns is in – it's not a tough formula to crack. I think he's got the charisma and the skills that his cousin had. I think a heel turn and letting the crowd organically turn him babyface when they want to, because they will. If he has a run as a badass heel, a truly badass hateable heel on his own, I think he's got an unlimited future. He had some unfortunate hiccups this winter that weren't his fault, but I think he's been showing ever since that he's got the skill, and that's the guy who, for me, once Cena runs out of gas, I hand the ball to him. And I don't hate the idea of him going against Kevin Owens either, so I'm pretty happy so far.
All right, there we go. All right, Mr. Riesch, your third round pick and your fourth round pick.
Okay. You know, I picked two guys. One's a heel in Rollins, but I do think, and I don't know if you agree, maybe I can ask you, what do you think he can work as a face?
Rollins?
Yeah, in the future.
Absolutely.
That he
Absolutely.
Could switch,
no
switch it up with the high energy offense.
Yeah,
and
no
then
question.
I have Daniel Bryan, who's the ultimate baby face. You know, you can't even boo him if you wanted to. So I really need a heel. And the heel that I think really goes forward the best with, you know, because they freshened his character, is Sheamus. I think Sheamus is such a hard worker. His matches are solid. His heel character is awesome. And I think he always had it in him. I always thought he was a little out of place as a babyface anyway. And now that he's really taken on this role as like this like Mohawk bully, I think he's done such a great job. And he can work a good match with so many different kinds of people with that sort of like snug style that he has. For my fourth pick.
That's a sneaky pick, Riesch. I like it.
Yeah. For my fourth pick, I'm debating between two guys. They're very different. But I'm going to go with Sami Zayn because I know I've got an underdog type of guy in Daniel Bryan. But like I said, I don't know what I have with the injuries. With Sami Zayn, obviously he's coming off an injury too, short term. But he is so similar to Daniel Bryan, but he has such a uniqueness to him that's very unlike Daniel Bryan. And I think he can work as a mid-carder without really hurting his stock if he loses. You know, and I think his matches can be really, really good with pretty much anybody. He's the king of NXT alongside Neville. So I really can't go wrong. When I look at the four guys I've got Rollins, Bryan, Sheamus, and Sami Zayn. And I think I've got a pretty solid four there.
Mm, you have an excellent four there. Benjamin, your fourth round pick.
Okay, so what I'm lacking right now is a little bit on the work rate end, just for the – I think all three guys I pick can work, but there's no one who's a true work rate freak who the internet's going to love and all that. And also, I don't really have a pure baby face because Cena and Reigns both split the crowd. So I'm going to go with someone the crowd likes. I kind of had Sami Zayn pegged if he stuck around here, but I was also leery of using both my NXT picks. So thank you, Riesch, for taking that out of my hands. I'm going to go ahead and take Dolph Ziggler. Because I think when you think of work rate and when you think of over with the crowd and over with everyone, he's a guy who comes to mind. Little concerned that he's played out at this point and his best days may be behind him, but I'm going to bank on being able to rebuild him.
Fantastic.
I blame WWE more for that than Ziggler.
I just don't know if the damage has already been done. It's the only problem.
Well, there's no damage in this draft, so you're getting him
clear.
Yay.
I win.
Brad, your fourth round pick and then your fifth round pick.
I'm very happy with how this has worked out because I'm gonna get two back to back that I said I wanted to build around, and thankfully they're still there. Fourth round pick, I'm taking Bray Wyatt. Love his whole presentation, love that whole character. I think once again, there's so much you can do with him, and it, literally another thing I like about him is anyone can potentially make that gimmick work. You know, if you've got two guys that you like, that you're not 100% sold on, you know, they can be Wyatt's, minions for a little while and potentially, you know, you can put them in any kind of situation to help get them to a point where they are ready to launch on their own.
Mm-hmm.
And with that in mind, number five pick is Luke Harper.
Okay.
My favorite guy on TV right now. I think he's amazing. Literally my favorite guy to watch. And I knew him a little bit on the indies as Brody Lee. Professionally, I know him a lot. Personally, I know him a little bit. But they've just scratched the surface on what he can do. Mm-hmm. That's a guy that you can build around.
Okay. So halfway through the draft, Brad has not used either of his NXT picks yet. Benjamin. Your fifth round pick.
Brad's like a more likable Jordan Duncan.
Satan is a more likable Jordan Duncan.
What was it? You know what?
Jordan Duncan was likable?
Well, I was just going to say, I said more likable. I should have just said likable.
Likable, period.
Scott
Steiner's more likable. All right.
We love you, JD.
We love you, JD.
It's all
these are compliments. He loves this.
Yeah, he's so feeding off of it. Okay. I've got one more NXT pick to burn. I'm going to burn it quick because I have a feeling this guy's going to go sooner than later. A guy who's skilled, a guy who connects naturally to the crowd, who is so far ahead of where I think people outside of his hardcore fans thought he would be. I'm going to call up Finn Balor.
I knew you were going to pick him. For some reason, I knew you were the one that was going to pick him. So
I had him high, yeah.
Okay. So you have exhausted both your NXT picks.
Yes, and I don't feel bad about doing it.
Okay. And Rish, your fifth-round pick, and then we'll go to break so you can think about your sixth-round pick. Your final pick of this segment and your fifth round pick.
I cannot believe Randy Orton has been picked yet. That's a slam dunk for me.
Okay.
I mean, it's not that he's like still a main eventer and that he can still deliver sometimes on Raw and on pay-per-view matches, even though some of his pay-per-view matches in main events are hit and miss because they always involve outside interference for whatever given reason, whether he's a babyface or a heel. But I think his character is still pretty fresh. I think the fans are still behind him. And, you know, like I keep going back to, it's the performance. And as a performer, I mean, Randy Orton has just as much in the tank as John Cena does.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not I'm not trying to insult John Cena. John Cena is fantastic. I love what he's been doing with the U.S. title challenge. But I really do feel like Randy Orton in the last year has found a second win in his career as a performer.
Okay.
And as a guy that can help out the four people that I picked at the top, I have no problem picking Randy Orton.
Okay. Guys.
I agree with that. I think it's an oversight on our part that he fell that far down because I agree with everything he just said.
Mm. I do too, actually. All right. So we are halfway through the draft. This is what's called a foundation draft. This isn't like you're drafting your whole roster. These are the 10 guys or gals, and gals, I should say, that you think would be a great foundation to begin your promotion. So we're halfway through. Brad Stutz has chosen Brock Lesnar, the tag team of Cesaro and Kidd. And just to clarify, and I know Ben and Breesh wouldn't do it, but you can't invent tag teams just to get an extra guy. You actually have to have a legit tag team. So you can't say, I want a tag team, John Cena and Brock Lesnar. No, you can't do that. Although they might have teamed in OVW. But
so my Big Show Hideo Itami tag team is not
Sorry, not happening. No.
That'd be a fascinating
team, though.
Or the John Cena-Randy Orton tag team, so I could have John Cena and Randy Orton wrestle each other forever.
Yeah, but my tag team was going to be called Big Trouble in Little Tokyo.
Big Trouble in Little Tokyo. I knew you were going to say that. Oh, God. Brad, you could have drafted Brock and Shelton Benjamin, though, because no, you couldn't have. All right, so Brad has drafted Brock Lesnar, the team of Cesaro and Tyson Kidd, Dean Ambrose, Bray Wyatt, and Harper.
Why does his first name just escape my head?
Harper. Why does first name just escape my head?
Luke,
thank you. Oh. Why his name just vanished out of my head?
Luke
Harper. Ben Morris has John Cena, Kevin Owens, Roman Reigns, Dolph Ziggler, and Finn Balor. Andrew Reich has Seth Rollins, Daniel Bryan, Sheamus, Sami Zayn, and Randy Orton.
Those are three good rosters, guys.
You guys are all very good so far. If I had to look right now, who do I like the most? I don't know.
Brad's has the beef, like I said.
Brad's got the beef, and he's got good power matches, and you know me, and of course my PIC, Mr. Azaro.
Ben's got more variety.
Or marks for Haas matches. Ben got the two, in my opinion, personal opinion, obviously, the two best NXT guys. Sorry, no, knock to Sami Zayn, but those are my two favorites. Questionable on Dolph. Mm. A little questionable on Dolph, but I like everybody else. And Rish, I like your very work rate laden. I don't know if you have total star power, though. See, Ben and Brad, see, you all have deficiencies. Brad is a little light in the work rate department. Ben is...
As Dolph Ziggler.
Ben has a lot of... Ben has Dolph Ziggler. And you have a lot of... you have Dolph Ziggler pretty much. But you, and you, as great as your NXT guys are, you know, in a roster sense, they may not be quite at the top yet. And
sure,
Rish,
unproven.
And Rish has a lot of work rate, but maybe not a lot of main event star power quite yet.
Brad has Paul Heyman.
And Brad has the best manager around. So why don't we take a break? And when we come back here on the main event, picks 6 through 10, we'll see if we'll see how the rest of this draft continues. I'm having a blast, guys. It is the main event. Ben Morse, Andrew Rish, special guest Brad Stutz. We'll be back.
Rish, when do you start tanking?
Shut up, Jordan.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly. Make sure you check out every episode of The Kevin Kelly Show right here on the Place to Be Nation. PlaceToBeNation.com, The Kevin Kelly Show. Every episode is a winner. At least we hope.
Place to Be Nation's Justin Rosero here. In addition to The Kevin Kelly Show, we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes at PlaceToBeNation.com. You can check out myself as Scott Criscolo on the Mothership, The Place to Be podcast, home of great interviews, our famous Vintage Vault pay-per-view reviews, and WWE Network live watches. If you need your fix of current wrestling talk, we have plenty of options for you, including the main event, featuring a roundtable discussion led by PTBN analysts and special guests, WrestleChat.net's Still Real to Us podcast with Jeff Peck, and Wrestling with Optimism, which focuses on what we should be excited about in the world of wrestling today. Also, be sure to relive wrestling's past with Graham Cawthon's excellent exclusive History of Wrestling podcast. Sports fans have plenty to dive into as well. We feature The Extra Point with Scott Criscolo and Dr. G, as well as the twice-weekly Bauer Show, The Kings of Sport, featuring live audio wrestling's godfather Nate Milton, The Sports Lounge, hosted by Cowboy and Cowboy Sr., often visited by special guests from inside the world of sports, as well as the NBA Team Podcast with Adam Murray and Andrew Rish for the deep dive into the world of pro hoops. As mentioned, all of these shows are available on PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. PTBN is also the home to tremendous in-depth features on pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, and more. We also want to thank our friends at Bonehead's Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island and Fall River, Massachusetts, Scott Keats RSPWFAQ.com blog, and Piledriver.net for their support.
Chad, do you want your wrestling podcast to be informed by historical and analytical insight and by obsessive watching of footage from any era and any promotion and for them all to be available on one feed?
Sure do, Parv.
Chad, are you ready to shill?
I am, because I know you're talking about the Pro Wrestling Only Place to Be Nation Podcast Network.
Let's go through that again. PWOPTBN Podcast Network.
Got it. That's where you can listen to all sorts of different shows covering the history of pro wrestling in detail.
Shows like Titans of Wrestling with my boys Pete, the man of a 10,000 discs, and Kelly, the jobber lover.
I'm a jobber lover.
The Pro Wrestling Super Show with Stephen Graham.
Join me, Stephen Graham.
The smash hit wrestling game show Brain Buster with
Johnny Sorrow.
We have a host of top contributors like wrestling historian Chris Zellner.
Hello, everyone. This is Chris Zellner here, starting a new podcast venture.
And the Pro Wrestling Only admins, the man who knows more about 90s wrestling than maybe anybody on earth, Charles, and good old Will from Texas.
This is Will, and I'm joined today by my good buddy Charles.
Whether it's the territories, WWF, NWA, Mid-South, Texas, Portland, tag team wrestling, Japanese wrestling, lucha, old school, new school, we got it.
And of course, the feed still has the mothership itself,
where the big boys play,
on which we continue our endless journey through WCW Supercards.
PWO PTBN Podcast Network. It's pro wrestling only.
You know you want to hear it.
Thank you.
All right, Police Be Nation, welcome back to episode 33 of The Main Event. I am Scott Griscola, along with Ben Morse, Andrew Reich, and special guest making his main event debut, Brad Stutz from Wrestling with Optimism and History of Wrestling. We're going to talk about those shows in a second, Brad. PoliceBeNation.com, your home for everything pop culture. On the website right now, at the top there, my PIC, Mr. Rosero, and I are doing our Vintage Vault refreshes, the written reviews. And up right now is SummerSlam 1993. And if anybody read it, I'd be pleasantly surprised if you are a Lex Luger fan, and I know there are some out there, to my comments on the show. So, Jay Hinchy will be very happy with what I wrote. All right, I pimped his name. What the hell?
Jay's always happy. That's one of the
Jay's always
love
happy.
Him.
Exactly. Neil Trauma, my buddy from Northeast Pennsylvania, WD World Traveler, the P2B guide to Walt Disney World. Wow, something Walt Disney World written that did not involve Matt Rotella. I don't know if his writing's as good as his speaking, then it'd be like a 17-page thing. It would take forever. Okay. So anyway, Neil has his P2B guide to Walt Disney World, part one, the basics. Episode 30 of PTBN's Sports Lounge is up. Cowboy and the rest of that crew talking about the Wells report where Tom Brady cheated. And, of course, talking about Mayweather-Pacquiao, Major League Baseball, and such other topics. So that's the newest episode of the Sports Lounge. PTBN's Real World Champion. What a series this is. I haven't had a chance to read this one yet, but this is part three. For those that may not know, the staff members came together to argue who the true real world champion of North American wrestling was from 1983, which is in essence the beginning of the super big show era, and I guess the pay-per-view era, to 2014. Factoring in work rate, drawing ability, they didn't have to win even titles if they were just the best at what they did that year. Part three, 2001 to 2007.
I got to say, Scott, I know we've been keeping it anonymous who wrote what. Mm-hmm. But I will jump in and take credit for, because the one I'm proudest of is that I pushed, got, and then wrote the one for AJ Styles in 2005. So okay. I hope you guys read this one and let me know what you think of that one, because I thought we made a really good case. Mm-hmm. I think he was, I can't remember if he's the only TNA guy who gets it, but he's one of the very few.
Well, there's a second TNA guy, but he was a Ring of Honor guy first.
Right.
So. Yeah, and then there's another one in the next installment say was a TNA guy per se. Yeah.
So there we go. PTBN's Real World Champion, Part 3, 2001 to 2007. Russell Sellers has his new hotness column up. Glenn Butler, his Wednesday walk around the web. Todd Weber's has issues, special edition, the greatest Ultron story ever told.
He's right, too.
And we'll talk about that in a minute. All right. And, of course, continue voting in the greatest wrestling theme song tournament, the Elite Eight we're up to now. You have a little bit of time to vote. Four matchups right now, three are blowouts. One is kind of close. We're going to let the page load. Before we do that, though, I want to turn to our special guest, Brad Stutz. Brad, again, thank you. Pleasure to have you on so far.
Absolutely, having fun
I like the so far.
You know what, Ben?
I said that wrong.
Honestly, Ben, I said that on purpose just to catch you because I had a feeling you were going to say that. But no, Ben, Brad, you've been a blast. Brad, as I mentioned at the beginning of the program, is the co-host of two fantastic shows that have recently joined the Place to Be Nation podcast network with our good friend, the Broham himself, Graham Cawthon. The two shows, Wrestling with Optimism and The History of Wrestling. Now, Brad, just give us a little capsule. What are the differences in the two shows?
Well, Wrestling with Optimism came about when Graham had talked to me and a friend of mine, just thought we were entertaining and was like, you guys should do a podcast. And for the longest time, we didn't want to do one because to be perfectly honest, I wasn't a big podcast fan. This is a couple of years back. And I kind of, every time I ever gave one a try, they were like snarky and armchair quarterback bullshit. And, you know, this guy's getting buried and this could be so much better. And so I wasn't really into the whole podcast genre at the time. And I said, you know what, we'll do a show if we can talk about the things that we like and the things that make us happy as fans and not this snarky know-it-all bullshit. And so that's where Wrestling with Optimism came from, and graciously now hosted at the Place to Be Nation. And I can honestly say it has opened my eyes a little bit to podcasting and everything that's out there and all the options that are out there and not just snarky know-it-all bullshit. Mm-hmm. But that's basically what the show is about. It's about what makes us happy as fans, the moments or the times or the things that have happened that have given us joy as fans. And the history of wrestling came from the history of WWE.com, mm-hmm. The website that Graham has been diligently working on for 10 or 12 years now, maybe even longer. And just kind of wanting to talk about some of these things, some of these historical events, or putting them in a modern context, or saying, you know, looking back on a specific time or place or a moment and talking about how we felt about it then versus how we feel about it now. And basically just examining different little moments throughout the history of wrestling, kind of encapsulated and looking at them. So, you know, the two shows are kind of different, but we have a ball with both of them. Dan McGinn helps us out from the Place to Be Nation. And we're very happy to have found a home on the Place to Be. We had to take a long sabbatical there for a while, just due to kind of not having the means of producing a show, and extremely happy to partner with the Place to Be Nation here in the past few months to start cranking out those shows again.
Well, it is an honor and a privilege to have you with us here on the Place to Be Nation podcast network. You've been both shows are an absolute gems of additions to the other great wrestling shows and other shows in general we have here at Place to Be Nation. So thank you,
yeah,
Brad.
I haven't gotten a chance to listen to Optimism yet, but I've listened to the last few history of wrestlings, and I gotta just tell you on the air, Brad, they're awesome. They're great. Easy listen. I'll live listening to them over lunch. You guys do a great job carrying them again, and it's just across the board.
Well, he's actually carrying them because he's the gopher. But Brad, if you end up doing
me literally like King Mabel.
He doesn't, and Oscar actually is better at talking than he is. If you ever do an episode, Brad, on New England wrestling, like New Haven Coliseum, Hartford Civic Center, I would love to I'd love to be a special guest, because those were my house show wheelhouses when I was a kid. So I'd love to join you guys that night if you ever want a special guest, or if you just want someone to replace Dan. We love Dan. Dan's gonna cry. No, we like Dan. All right, guys. Before we move on, let us go through the four Elite Eight matchups in our greatest wrestling theme song. We've had upsets up the wazoo, and I cannot believe, and I'm fucking pissed that not one Triple H theme, and that includes Evolution, is left.
Not even the kazoo version?
That is the anti-Triple H bullshit bias that got rid of all those themes. And if anybody disagrees with me, I don't really care, because it's the truth.
It's my time.
Bet your ass it's my time. You're fired. All right. Brad, there's four of them, so we're going to go around the horn. Brad, since he's the special guest, gets two. So he gets the first one. All right, Brad, your pick. Real American or CM Punk's Cult of Personality?
Ooh. I think I'll go with Real American for iconic historical worth and value. That's a pretty big part of Americana. I mean, yep. They picked it for Eastbound and Down, you know, like that's a pretty big part of Americana. So I'll go
true.
With it.
Well, it is blowing out CM Punk 126-62 right now. So it looks like the Hulkster is going to the Final Four. Ben, Chris Jericho, who made me cry by beating the awesome Freebirds Bad Street USA in the last round.
Oh my God.
And Ric Flair.
Sexy boy. Wait, what? Oh, I wanted Sexy Boy to win.
If, I know.
In case you couldn't tell.
Yes.
Man, I heard Kevin Kelly debate the same thing in his head on his show. This
yep,
is
I heard
to
it
me
too.
One of the tougher ones, because Flair's is more iconic, but Jericho's, even though it shouldn't be here. It should have gotten beaten in the previous rounds. There's something about Jericho's that's really it's catchy, and it kind of flips on. But I'm not going to go against the grain here. I'm going to go with Flair.
Okay. And Flair is winning 143-44. So Jericho's finally getting his just desserts for losing. Rish, you're picking the rematch of WrestleMania 13. Steve Austin Or another one that's made some big, that's had some upsets down the line, Bret Hart.
Oh, you know, in terms of like sequence and melody, they're very repetitive. So it's really hard to say. It really just comes down to which one hooks you the best. I'd probably have to go with the Excellence of Execution.
Wow. Well, guess what? That was a waste of a pick. Because Austin is winning 133-52. But
I love the guitar in the Bret Hart song.
All right. All right. Now, the one Elite Eight matchup that has been the closest, Brad, you're the one that's going to pick this one. You ready for these two?
Yes, sir.
Randy Savage, Demolition.
Demolition.
Wow, that was much. You picked much quicker than I thought you would.
Gotta go with Demolition.
All right. Well, at the moment, Randy Savage leads 101-82. He's kind of pulled away. This one was much closer than. So
it's looking like
Hogan, Flair, Austin, and Savage. Pretty much the Mount. One of
it's
those.
Like a Mount Rushmore.
Yeah, somebody's Mount Rushmore. Yeah. So there you go. But keep voting. The Elite Eight will be up a little bit longer, and then we will have the Final Four up soon.
There's PTBN's no hide-in-like greatest... in there?
No. Only if you – it's not his theme song, but it's just the excerpt of him dry hump raping Michael Cole to a sex to a bone.
Dry hump raping.
Dry hump raping.
Dry raping.
Oh, and by the way, as Brad mentioned it – or Ben mentioned it. I've been doing that a couple times tonight. Both of them mentioned it. The Kevin Kelly Show earlier in the week, if you hadn't listened, take a listen. It was fantastic. He had the Blue Meanie on, which was a great interview. And then a pretty hearty debate with Roger Morissette with the Cowboy about the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight. So
that was a good debate.
It was a very good debate.
And
so check it
not,
out.
You're not the only one. For some reason, the B names get people, even if they sound nothing alike. Me and former NBA team guest Blake, who was on that Andrew show with me, we get it all the time at work, and our names sound nothing alike.
I've never heard of this Roger Morissette guy. I should meet him.
He works the other sports show. If you'd like my opinion extensively on the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight, check out next month, this coming Monday morning, when the next edition of The Extra Point will be up. The doctor and I actually watched the fight together. So we'll have our opinions of it, plus a bunch of other fun sports stuff on the next edition of The Extra Point, which will be on Monday. And next week also, my PIC and I will be back with our next episode of the Place to Be podcast. We'll be going back into the Vintage Vault for Vengeance 2004, a show him and I watched together. And it was in Hartford, and I wasn't there. So I know I was broke, and I can't stay in the Hartford Civic Center. But anyway, all right, let's get back to the business at hand, this wonderful foundation draft we're doing. What we're doing is the three gentlemen are picking 10 guys that they would start a promotion with, and they can use WWE roster only, except for two picks with which they can use NXT. To recap, Brad has chosen, and tag teams as well, so you get an extra guy in that case too. Brad has picked Brock Lesnar, Cesaro Kidd, the tag team, Dean Ambrose, Bray Wyatt, and Luke Harper. Ben has chosen John Cena, Kevin Owens, Roman Reigns, Dolph Ziggler, and Finn Balor. So Ben has used both his NXT picks. And Andrew Reich has taken Seth Rollins, Daniel Bryan, Sheamus, Sami Zayn, and Randy Orton. So Brad has not used either NXT pick. Ben has used both his NXT picks, and Reish has used one NXT pick. All right, Mr. Boogie of the Bayou, you begin round six.
Okay. For the fifth, the one I had that before we went to break was Randy Orton. I felt like I got a lot of value out of a guy that sort of dropped, if you're using like draft speak.
Sure.
So in terms of draft speak, I'm going to kind of reach a little bit. I'll go down and I'll kind of dig this guy out because I think that he's been underused, but I think that there really is still a lot there. He's still young, and he's still in great shape, and that's Stardust, a.k.a. Cody Rhodes.
And you can use him, and you can use him for both. You don't have to keep him as Stardust because he
As Cody or whatever you would like to do.
But you can use him for whatever you want. Okay.
I feel like he has main event potential in him, and he wants to use it, but he hasn't found the room yet. And I think if you build a foundation and you take options away, I think in the brand split era, I think a guy like Cody Rhodes would have been so great because he would have been a guy that could have raised himself up into a main event level on a lesser show, per se. And I think he's so good. He's interchangeable as a heel and as a face, which I use a lot in a lot of the talents that I picked. And so I can keep the storylines fresh by switching the roles. And with Stardust, a.k.a. Cody Rhodes, I just think that there's just a lot there that we haven't seen yet.
Okay. All right. Ben Morse, your sixth round pick.
As an aside, Rudish, when you just mentioned the brand split era, did we did a written draft together too, didn't we?
Yes.
So this is the third draft we've done together.
Yes.
Is this a tiebreaker? Did somebody have something better?
We're the milk. We're the Kuiper and Miss Shea.
Yeah.
Miss Shea.
Miss Shea.
Yeah. It's our hobby. All right. Back to the board. Okay. I'm going to make a pick that is kind of hilarious to me because 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, it would have been probably people would have seen it as a terrible pick. But now I think people are going to hopefully get behind it. And you want to talk about value picks. Three for the price of one with the New Day. I think it's a great pick. I think these guys were hamstrung for the last 8 months by having to play babyface. Now that they're being allowed to be who they were, as we said, one of the best parts of the show at Extreme Rules. They were incredibly entertaining on Raw this week. And the best part of it is I get a tag team and three singles guys who can all work, who all have different styles. I think they're great. I think Xavier Woods is one of the best talkers in the business, doesn't get enough time for it. I think Big E's got unlimited potential. And I think Kofi, who probably has the least value, at the very least is an experienced hand. So I think I get tons out of picking the New Day, especially at this point.
Okay.
Can I say Big E as like a pontificating heel is so awesome?
Yes, I agree. And I like Xavier Woods almost more as a manager than I do a worker.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you.
Okay. All right, Brad, your sixth round pick and then your seventh round pick.
I wanted New Day so bad. I did not think they were in danger of getting taken. I also think Cody Rhodes is a perfect pick. Cody and Orton and New Day are all people that I had on my short list that I would have gladly built around if need be. With them off the table, though, I'm going to take the Usos. Phenomenal tag team. You guys mentioned maybe me being a little weak on the work rate side. Maybe that's the case, but both those guys are phenomenal workers, great personalities. A buddy of mine tweeted during the Hall of Fame when they were inducting Rikishi, and I completely agree with his assessment. He said, the Usos would be my tag team champions even if they couldn't work a lick. And I completely agree with that. They come off great. They're likable, great personalities, good athletes. And their run as champions, when they were opening every pay-per-view, they were stealing the show. So I think that can – if anyone's looking at my list and saying it's a lot of characters, it's a lot of brawlers, maybe they can help that perception out a little bit.
Okay. I like that pick. You got a lot of guys now too because now you have two tag teams.
Yeah.
Okay, your seventh round pick.
Unless I'm just missing something in the notes, this guy is still on the table because I've been keeping up, and that's Neville.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll take Neville.
You just stole him from me, Brad.
I'll take Neville once again to help with that perception and to get a little variety on my crew. It's a lot of character-driven stuff, and it's a lot of kind of crazy brawler types. So I think and there's a lot of guys that I would take to kind of fill out the crew. Like Paul London, Brian Kendrick, Trevor Lee, Andrew Everett, Austin Aries, Cedric Alexander are a lot of guys that if I was looking at building a team, those are guys that I would want to take. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's just a situation where I'm not as big on the WWE work rate guys. But I think Neville's phenomenal, and I think he adds a little something for everyone to my list.
Well, I just want to let you know, Brad, you have three picks left, and the NXT picks are mandatory. So you have only one WWE pick left. You have to pick two NXT guys. So
they're coming.
Okay. Ben, your seventh round pick.
There's a guy I was thinking of here, but I think I can get him later. Rish will probably make me regret that. But I am going to go with a guy who I don't think is going to fall much further and who may surprise some of our longtime listeners, maybe someone I've come around on. Great natural heel, great imposing threat, and comes with a kicker, so I'm going to take Rusev.
Well, Rusev's a great pick because you get Lana.
That was the kicker.
Mm-hmm. He was another one that was on my short list that I think
I wouldn't
would
kick
go,
her anywhere.
He would go really well with a lot of these big brutes that I have. Good pick.
Wouldn't kick her out of something either. Yes, you are quite right, Brad. I agree. Rusev's a good pick. I like that pick. You know why I like that pick, Ben? Because you seem like the kind of guy, and I think all three of you could do this, but I think the tricky thing with him and a challenging thing is trying to make him a face.
Yep.
Good luck with that. I'm not saying that sarcastically. I'm saying I think that would be a great challenge for a
I think he's got an interesting future ahead of him.
Yeah. And again, you have Lana, and there's no fault in that. So mm-hmm. All right, Mr. Riche, you have, and incidentally, and just to remind you, Ben, and I know I said it already, you're out of
no more
NXT,
NXT
picks. Riche, you still have one. So of your
Sorry,
next
Mojo.
Four picks. So of your next yes. And no Bailey either. Mr. Riche, you have four picks left, and you have one NXT pick left. So what is your seventh round pick?
My seventh round pick, you know, when you get this far down, you start finding guys that either you feel like the company didn't really get behind or drop the ball with, or that the talent himself dropped the ball in his own way. And it's hard to kind of differentiate what happened for each of these people. But in this case, I feel like this is a guy who the company sort of dropped the ball on over the last 6 or 7 months since he came back from an injury. But I think is just kind of like Stardust. I feel like there's still more there and that we haven't really seen the best of him yet. And that's Bad News Barrett. You know,
great
he's tall, physical. He can work a good mid card match. He can lose without losing his heat. He's likable. The fans are behind him a lot. I think he can cut more promos as a character and be just as effective on television as he is as a wrestler. So I like that. And I will use my NXT card for my eighth round pick, but I'm going to pick Sasha Banks. Because if I
the boss.
The boss, you know, king of Twitter, or the queen of Twitter, I should say. If I need to, like, paint my canvas, like a foundation, like you say, and I say, okay, I want my women's wrestling division to look like this. I want this one to be at the top. I want Sasha Banks to be at the top.
Okay.
That is an awesome, awesome female performer.
Yes. All right. So a good pick there. So, Riche, you have now used your two NXT picks. So your last two picks are both WWE. Benjamin, your eighth round pick.
All right. So there's someone I keep wanting to take, but Riche just changed the game again by breaking the seal on Divas. And wonder if I should jump in there. Wonder if I should go a different direction. All right. Just because I am afraid she will not last two more picks.
I had a feeling you were going to take her.
I'm going to take Paige.
Oh.
Is that who you thought I was going to take? Who did you think
no.
I was going to take?
I was
going to take Nikki, didn't you?
No.
You get them both.
Yeah. Well, actually, yeah, that is pretty funny. But no, I did not think you were going to take. I was thinking somebody else, but I won't say it because you guys still have picks. So.
Yeah, I think Paige is, as far as not just great in the ring, if there's one thing, yes, I still watch it, Total Divas, and also the announcement today for Tough Enough has shown, she is a female who can be an ambassador and can go out, do the mainstream press, and gets people who are casual fans interested. My wife does not love wrestling, but she loves watching Paige, so that's my pick.
I do too, actually. I love Paige. All right, Brad, your eighth and ninth round picks.
Oh, geez. I'm really unhappy with the Sasha Banks situation. that was going to be my little ace in the hole. Pretty unhappy with that. Little bit back to the drawing board for me on that. Just because pretty much everything that was said is dead on. I think she's phenomenal. I think she's one of the best women's wrestlers to come along in forever.
This is tough.
Yeah, so I'm very sad because she was absolutely going to be one of those NXT picks that I was saving, and now the question is, do you replace her with another one of the NXT girls? Because I did think for the early going here that a lot of people were neglecting picking girls and what girls can bring to the table. All right. I will. Well, first of all, I'll go with the ones that I've been holding on to. Now I'm stuck because I want
to remember. I don't remember wrestling. Gosh.
I wanted Sasha so bad, and now
TNA.
I can't figure out if I want to replace her or not. I'll go with, I'll go with the Bella Twins.
Wow.
I'll take the Bellas. I think you can kind of build something with them. I think they've got mainstream appeal. Kind of like what you said, to kind of be ambassadors or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe they don't get enough credit for, they've been on the road all these years. They're fucking tough, man. I'll take the Bellas and see what they can do.
Okay.
You're not going to get any shade from me on that one, Brad. Anyone who's listening to this show knows that.
Mm. Yeah. I'm sad that I hope when this goes up that there's like a little asterisk by my pick that says it was supposed to be Sasha Banks, but that's okay. That just leaves me in NXT, doesn't it?
Yes, your next two picks have to be NXT.
Okay. Well,
people, so
the NXT pick. The NXT pick that I've been holding on to the whole time, and I knew they were, well, I didn't know, but I felt like they were in no real danger of getting picked, is a dark horse. I want Scott Dawson and Dash Wilder, the Mechanics.
Ooh.
Scott Dawson was
the
best.
I just saw those guys
wrestler
today for the first time, actually.
Scott Dawson was the best wrestler in North Carolina for a number of years, bar none. I don't care what anybody says. And Dash Wilder was a great hand in North Carolina. I didn't have the relationship with him that I had with Scott Dawson, but everybody I knew, he was called Stephen Walters up here, and everybody raved about him. Like I said, I didn't get to know him personally like I got to know Dawson, but I've gotten to see a lot of their work, probably more of their work than most, just trying to keep up with them. And when those guys get ready to burst on the scene, they're going to be one of the top acts. Because Dawson is so good and they're such a good tag team, and you can tell there's kind of a theme of building tag teams in here. So that's kind of my dark horse pick, is I want the Mechanics.
Okay. Interesting. All right. Mr. Morris, your ninth round pick.
Yeah. Brad's got a hell of a tag team division.
Yes,
building
he does.
Up there.
Some very cool.
Interesting stuff. Speaking of tag team divisions, I'm finally going to pull the trigger. I was holding out this long for a guy you guys know I love and who I think is going to be a huge, huge, huge star. And then it was just as we were doing the last round that I realized I can get two guys picking him. So I'll take the Lucha Dragons.
Okay.
Giving me Kalisto is the one I really want. Sin Cara will be, he can put people over. but no, he's good. I just think Kalisto has unlimited potential. I think as big as Rey Mysterio got, I think Kalisto is not that far off. He's that good in the ring, and he's that just there's a natural charisma about him and the way he strings moves together. I think he's great. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mr. Reich, your ninth round pick, and then your tenth round, your final pick.
Okay. I feel at this point like I'm reaching, not like I'm like staring somebody down because I really like him. It's more like, okay, I'm kind of looking at the rest of it and what do I have left. I do have two in a row. For ninth round, I'll go with Mark Henry because he's a lower card guy who you can open the show with, but he'll never really let you down because he, even though he does get injured a lot, when he performs, he can do that power stuff. I got a lot of smaller guys like Rollins per se, Bryan, Sami Zayn, who can kind of work off of him as a heel if I wanted to move him up the card, give him that temporary push until he goes back to the mid card. And I think he's just, even though he's older and he's got all these kind of red flags on him at this point in his career, he can still provide that leadership in the locker room. He can still be one of those guys that can be a veteran on a roster that really needs veteranship. And then for the 10th pick, I'm going to bless Scott's heart because I'm going to take the King of Kings, Triple H.
Really?
Yes, because that one match can make it. That one match with Triple H a year with one of those guys could make the show.
So Ben,
and also he's the authority, man.
Ben, you're the only guy that did not draft a part-timer so far anyway. Sure. You still have a pick left.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Reich, if you think you're I don't vote. Don't forget, I am a complete objective arbiter here. But you are now on Main Event forever. So, yeah. No. Okay, Ben, your 10th and final pick.
Well, I started the draft with what I thought might be an unpopular pick for the sake of mainstream credibility, and I'm going to bookend it the same way. We talked about him earlier in the show, and we actually said some positive stuff about him. And the flip side of I liked Risha's Mark Henry pick because I think you got to have veteran presence. You got to have someone who's credible. But my guy, I can't recall him ever really getting hurt. And that's Big Show. That's going to be my final pick. Okay. He can be a gatekeeper. He can push guys to the main event. And like Brad was saying earlier in the night, I think it's impressive at his age, his size, how well he can still put it all together. And I think he, for as much heat as he gets, I think he has a place and I think he has value.
Okay. That's a good last foundation pick there. All right, Mr. Stutz, the very last pick of the entire draft, and it must be from NXT.
Mojo Rawley.
Well, since Reese took Triple H, that's who you're getting, Brad. Mojo Rawley. All right, let's look at this. No, I'm only kidding. Go ahead.
I've been looking at it. I've been kind of looking at the NXT roster and who from that is really a foundation type player. And I think there's a lot of people that you can build on. But I'm going to go with Charlotte.
Good pick. I was waiting for
that's
you.
That's a great pick.
I'll be honest with you. When you picked you actually got, not that you got lucky, but I thought you were going to pick Charlotte when you picked the Bellas. And then I realized that the two of them exhausted their NXT picks. And technically, Charlotte's still on NXT, obviously. So you actually had that in your back pocket, and nobody could do anything about it. So that was awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, I think she's great looking. She's done great. Every big match has been a success. Her TV matches are strong. And I think she's got a great presence, and she's young and will only get better. So if I can't have Sasha, I'll take Charlotte.
Okay. All right. Well, we are done here. Let us go over, because Place Me Nation, after you listen to our wonderful podcast, underneath it on the website will be a poll, and you will get to vote whose picks were better, who has the best foundation for starting up a promotion. So you'll vote for either Brad, Ben, or Andrew. To recap, Brad's 10 picks: Brock Lesnar, the tag team of Cesaro and Tyson Kidd, Dean Ambrose, Bray Wyatt, Luke Harper, The Usos, Neville, The Bellas, The Mechanics, and Charlotte. I love the character-driven part of the roster. You have a lot of hosses, and as you know, I'm a mark for for matches of that ilk.
I didn't necessarily set out to create this, but it kind of looks like an ECW roster.
It does look like an ECW roster.
Yeah,
that's not exactly what I set out to create.
And honestly, if there was an 11th round, I would give you Bull Dempsey. We were talking about it earlier during the break when you walked away. He's one of my favorite guys on that in NXT, and I wish he was utilized more. Instead, he got jobbed out to a guy that I think doesn't have a lot of talent in Corbin. But you have a lot of tag teams.
My 11th round pick, the one that I didn't get to, would have been Goldust.
Mm. Because you could have kept him after he retired and been your booker.
Absolutely, and I agree with what was said a little while ago that you need that veteran presence.
Yes. My only concern, your work rate, I mean, you did draft Neville, but the work rate junkies might be a little skeptical, and Ben's going to hit me, but I'm 50-50 on the Bellas pick. But they are hot. And, you know, they do add that factor. So
yeah, and you got both of them. And I'm not talking about Nikki and Brie.
Ah,
Nikki 1 and Nikki 2.
Even if you're a critic, they look great on a poster.
That's right. Left and right. So, Brad, they're your 10 picks. I like your draft a lot. And Brock is awesome. And so is Ambrose. Yeah, you definitely have an ECW 95, 96-ish feel to your roster. Benjamin. John Cena. Kevin Owens. Roman Reigns. Dolph Ziggler, Finn Balor, New Day, Rusev. Actually, let me say it the way Matt Rotella says it. Rusev. Paige. He rolls his R's on everything. He's like John Miller when he does Giants games. Paige, the Lucha Dragons, and the Big Show. You have a lot of star power. You have a couple of reclamation projects. that need that probably could use some creative fixing. You drafted one tag team.
Two.
But oh, that's right, you drafted New Day. Yeah. So you have a nice feud for a while. That'd be fun matches.
Mm-hmm.
I love Balor and Owens, you know that. Your Dolph pick I'm a little 50-50 on. But otherwise, solid. And Cena is just the face. He's the guy that's going to get you butts in the seats when your promotion starts.
I think that top five that he has is so good.
Your top five is very good. Yes.
I'm very happy with it. There were a lot more questionable picks on the downside, but I felt like, and I think I said the same thing when we did the draft on Graham's show, is that getting Cena, because I got him there too, and then I got him taken away from me. You have to go listen to that to understand why. Getting Cena gives me the freedom to take risks in the lower card, because if Ziggler or the New Day or something don't work out, I've still got John Cena to go back to. So I am very happy with those first five picks, and I think they allowed me to be a little more creative with the second five. So I'm happy with how it worked out.
You also have one diva. So if we had a second round of draft picks, you'd have to probably draft some.
Well, like you said, it's a foundation draft.
Right, exactly.
I'm not building a Divas division. I'm saying, who am I going to center my division around? I'm centering around Paige. Okay. Although I think it's interesting to note that, and you're going to move on to Rusev's roster now, I think Andrew taking Sasha Banks was the most pivotal pick of the draft. It changed the whole last third of the draft in terms of how Brad and I reacted.
I am to this show what Kevin Costner was to draft day.
I didn't see that.
I am the Cleveland Browns.
What a wonderful film.
Don't say that. Then all 10 of your guys will get hurt. All right. Andrew Reich drafted Seth Rollins, Daniel Bryan, Sheamus, Sami Zayn, Randy Orton, Stardust / Cody Rhodes, Bad News Barrett, Sasha Banks, Mark Henry, and some other guy that I've never heard of.
Kara Rising,
complete with the awesome Crushed Purple, which is hanging right now. No, it's not. And Triple H. Work rate-wise, you are off the charts. You've got some incredible workers. You obviously, the only thing that's kind of glaring, if you're starting a promotion from scratch, you have no tag teams. Mm-hmm. So your tag team division will probably start with a tournament.
I gave up on tag teams to get individual talent.
Yeah, that's fine. The Triple H pick, as awesome as it is for me, you might have gotten, Triple H is the 10th pick, is equal to Brock Lesnar as the top pick in terms of part-time talent. I can't believe I just said that, but. So you all have strengths. You all have a couple weaknesses, but I like all three of your lists. So at placetobenation.com, when this podcast is concluded, right under it will be a poll, and you can click on either Brad's team or Brad's roster, Ben's roster, or Andrew's roster, and we'll leave it up for like a week. And then the next time we're on the show, we'll find out who was picked for the best roster. Thanks. That was fun, guys. Thank you for your patience and wanting to do that. That was a lot of fun.
Absolutely.
As a matter of fact, we're going to have a special. It's almost like a main event special. The only reason it's a special is because there's going to be no core fours on it. So there is going to be a main event special, another draft down the line, and I'll announce it on our next show, on the next show in 2 weeks. But it's going to be a main event extra special because I can't include I can't have it as a regular episode and not have any core fours on it. But this one will not. But it's a special episode, so. Okay. Let's critique a little bit. And I'm going to go around, and each person's going to get a chance to talk about another person's, because I'm curious to see what you guys think of each other's rosters. Brad, what did you think of Ben's list? Do you need me to read it to you again? Or?
Yeah, go through it again, okay. just so I'm not mixing anybody up.
Okay, John Cena, Kevin Owens, Roman Reigns, Dolph Ziggler, Finn Balor, New Day, Rusev, with Lana, Paige, Blue Dragons, and The Big Show. What are your positive? What do you like about it? What are you a little skeptical about?
I really like it. I think there's a lot of opportunity there. I think there's a lot of guys that can kind of field any position. I'm a Big Show supporter. I think he's amazing for what he does. And I think also if you're trying to, we didn't really set the parameters of what this what this brand was that we're building, but if, I don't know, if let's say WWE has collapsed or whatever, you've got a lot of guys here that are recognizable. Finn Balor is going to be a huge star, I think. Kevin Owens could very well be a huge star. He connects with people. Like we said earlier, he's got that like an everyman Brock Lesnar. Mm-hmm. I think Paige is phenomenal. I would have been very happy to take her on mine. I definitely wanted the New Day for myself. I think Woods has got tremendous verbal ability and is untapped in the ring. I think Kofi's phenomenal in the ring. I think Big E has a lot of personality and, again, is untapped in the ring. So I think this is a really good, list. Kalisto is incredible. I kind of agree that you just kind of get Sin Cara as a bonus with that. To me, maybe the most questionable pick is Rusev, just because we will see, you know, now that he's pretty much had his run, we'll see, you know, 3 months out, 6 months out, where is Rusev in the big picture of things. So that might be the most questionable pick, but I think it's a very strong list.
Okay. Ben.
Yes.
I'm going to give you Rish's list.
I actually have it in front of me. I've been writing these down as we go.
Okay, so...
Do you want me to read it to you and you tell me if I'm right?
No, okay. Okay. I'm always right. I'm a host. Seth Rollins, Daniel Bryan, Sheamus, Sami Zayn, Randy Orton, Stardust, Bad News Barrett, Sasha Banks, Mark Henry, and Triple H.
All right, cool. We're on the same page.
Okay.
I think Rish's list is a list, if it comes together correctly, could be potentially the strongest. I think he made a lot of great picks in strategic spots. Like I said, Sasha Banks was probably the steal of the draft to set up that division. Getting Triple H in the 10th round is huge. Because it's basically a throwaway pick and you got a huge star. I think Seth Rollins is tremendous all around. Sami Zayn is probably going to be the future of the company. Randy Orton's a good foundation guy. Sheamus is solid. It's a really, it's a lot of guys with a lot of talent. If I had to make a critique, I think you took a lot of risks. There's a lot of guys who could potentially not work out here. First and foremost, taking Daniel Bryan as high as you did. Daniel Bryan, this is where it typifies what I just said. If things fall into place for you, you've got an incredible roster. If Daniel Bryan is healthy, he is potentially the top star in the world. He is teetering on the edge of retirement, though. And I think that was the third pick. And then to a lesser extent, you got guys like Bad News Barrett and Stardust, who I think there's a lot of upside to, but they have also... the same way I thought about Dolph Ziggler as being kind of damaged goods. And, you know, if we use Brad's scenario of you're starting from scratch, WWE is imploded. Dolph Ziggler's a guy who kind of has the mid-card forever stink on him. I think Barrett and, to a lesser extent, Stardust could be there too. They may pay off huge or they may not. But, yeah, I think that's what it is. I think basically Rish has a potentially the best roster in the world. And potentially a lot of guys who could get injured or just peter out. So it's a roll of the dice. But you know what? If you're going to gamble, gamble big. And I think the rewards could be potentially huge.
Okay. Excellent. All right, Mr. Rish. I'm going to read you Brad's roster. Brock Lesnar, the team of Cesaro and Tyson Kidd, Dean Ambrose, Bray Wyatt, Luke Harper, the Usos, Neville, the Bellas, the Mechanics, and Charlotte. Your thoughts?
Well, first of all, he went quantity over quality in some cases where, you know, he took a team like the Mechanics. And you could have taken a couple other different tag teams if you wanted to. You could have even plucked out of NXT. You could have taken Blake and Murphy, or you could have taken, you know, another tag team out of
Enzo and Big Cass.
Yeah, Enzo and Big Cass. Or you could go with the primetime players, really, if you just wanted to reach. But, you know, he went with one there, and then he has the Usos, who, and I agree with him, they're the kind of tag team that you can stretch out, you know, a 20-minute match, and they really don't bore you. So that's a great compliment. I do think, however, that he reached a little high for Cesaro and Tyson Kidd. I'm not trying to say that they're kind of like a hot take type of a pick, but I don't know if they would have been picked as highly if it would have been 6 months later and their tag team run had kind of simmered. So I thought that was a little too high for me. But I've always liked Dean Ambrose, and I think that he was a real quality pick there. Bray Wyatt as a heel with the mystical type of character, you can work with him in so many different ways with so many different guys. So I really like that one. Neville, terrific. I said he's the he was the archetype for NXT alongside Sami Zayn. You know, so to have him there with the high flying and the ability to work with different people as a smaller guy is so great. Charlotte is almost as good as Sasha Banks, and not just as good. You know, and so him, her being tall, being able to do all this athletic stuff as a diva, I think she could really set the stage as a female wrestler on that roster. And you got Brock Lesnar, who's the most. I'm trying to find the best term. He's the most attractive product in wrestling, even if he doesn't wrestle more than three times a year. And then you have Paul Heyman, the best mouthpiece in wrestling in the last 5 years.
Right.
So that alone champions your roster.
Okay.
I think it's a solid roster. A lot of brawlers, a lot of hosses, like you said. So I think it has a tendency to be one dimensional. You know, Luke Harper, I'm not high on that much, but it's a really, really good roster.
Okay. Last question before we go, and I'm going to go to each of you. Knowing the kind of employee he could conceivably be, as we've seen historically, and knowing what kind of money he'd probably ask for, Ben, if he was available, would you take CM Punk?
Yes, absolutely. If my argument is that I want a mainstream draw, I think Punk has built himself into a mainstream draw over the past few years without the WWE machine.
Knowing that he is immensely talented, but he could also be a colossal pain in the ass.
I think he's worth the risk. I think worst case scenario, he walks out after a year. I'm happy to get a year with him.
Okay. Brad, would you take him?
Yeah, I definitely would. I'm assuming in this scenario that if he hasn't come to me, at least he is receptive to the idea and is not acting annoyed that I called him. So if he's on board, yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Reesh?
After Lesnar, Punk would have been my pick if that was the case.
Yeah, if he was still with the company, I expect one of you guys.
Yeah, like if there's a best available board, Punk is number two.
Yeah. I'll be honest with you. If he was still in the company, I'm sure one of you would have picked. You know what? I'll tell you right now. If Punk – this is my prediction. If Punk was still in the company, I think, Ben, you would have taken him instead of Cena. Yes or no? If Punk was – after Brad drafted Brock, if Punk was still in the company, would you have taken him over Cena?
He loves John Boy.
I think honestly, and I'm speaking honestly, Punk would have been my number three pick just because.
Wow. So you would have taken Punk after Kevin Owens?
No. I'm saying it would have gone Brock, Cena, Punk for me. Because good as Punk is, I put a lot of stock in Cena's ability to be the, like you said time and time again, Scott, the face of the company. Punk's nature is just that I don't think he'll ever be the face of the company. I think he'll be a guy who can make you a ton of money and is immensely talented, but I think there's only one. He's not John Cena. And that's good. But yeah, no, I would have taken Cena over Punk, but I would have taken Punk right after.
Okay. All right. Well, this was a lot of fun, guys. And once again, Place to Be Nation, you'll see a poll at the bottom of the page under the podcast itself. So after you listen, vote. And we'll see how the results are on placebination.com. Guys, this was a lot of fun. We'll be back in 2 weeks. Probably have the other half of the core four with us, Steve Willey and Jordan Duncan. And we'll see who the extra guest will be. And we'll talk about Payback and the NXT special, because they'll both be completed by the time we record, and any other fun things that go on. We'll talk about the confirmed Owen Hart DVD will be made, which is pretty awesome. And some other news and notes, and maybe we'll kick some dirt on TNA's grave, because it looks like they're about this close. For Ben Morse, for Angie Reish, and my very good new friend, Brad Stutz. Brad, thank you. It's been a pleasure. We'll definitely have you back on again.
Please do. This was a blast. I could talk about this stuff all night.
I am Scott Criscolo. You've been in the main event. You could be in the main event of one of these guys' companies. Depends who pays you. Have a good 2 weeks.
Okay, and don't forget to tune in next month when Brad comes back and we do the TNA roster in our special episode titled Drafting with Shameless Cynicism.
Say it, Ben.
Do I have to?
Yes.
Can you please shut up, Reese?